At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Mercedes-Benz GLC EV debuts, the VW ID. Cross, and the Škoda Epiq. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I got some good news around those almost 500 South Korean nationals detained during an immigration raid at Hyundai's big battery factory in Georgia. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 9th of September. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. They get them first. They get them as soon as they're ready. And be part of the EV News Daily community. Click on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of Mercedes-Benz officially unveiling the GLC with EQ technology, a model that blends familiar styling with big advancements under the skin. At first glance, it looks much like the combustion-powered GLC, but this all-electric version is about 5 inches, or 13 centimetres, longer, with a wheelbase stretched by 3.3 inches or 8.4 centimetres. The added dimensions not only improve cabin space, but allow for a larger battery integration, as well as, they say, a smoother ride. The GLC EV will launch first as the GLC 400 4MATIC. So, dual electric motors, 483 horsepower, 4.4 seconds 0 to 60. A rear-drive GLC 300 will follow, about 6 seconds, 0 to 60 time. This positions the lineup directly against that brand-new BMW iX3 that I told you about last week and its big 500-mile headline range. Audi's Q6 e-tron, even a Model Y performance, balancing Mercedes' luxury and genuine sporting intent. At the heart of this vehicle, 94 kilowatt hour NMC pack, 800 volt architecture, charging at 330 kilowatts. That eclipses much of the competition. Q6 e-tron tops out at around 270, not shabby. And Tesla's limit, well, it's around 250 kilowatts. BMW really did steal a march, didn't they, by unveiling the iX3 a few days before everything else, because inevitably we're going to go, wow, GLC from Mercedes-Benz. Well, it's not 500 miles like the BMW. Well, it's not 400 kilowatt charging like the BMW. Probably frustrating, I imagine, for Mercedes-Benz, because this is a good EV. They say 10 to 80 in 24 minutes. That's going to be one of the fastest charging premium SUVs available. Bi-directional charging to power devices or even your home. On the range, again, 435 miles WLTP is nothing to be sniffed at, inevitably. You're going to go, oh, it's less than the 500 miles on the iX3. That's got to be frustrating, because 435 miles on any other day is a big headline grabber. All right, so that's not US EPA estimates, probably maybe 360 to 380. It's still going to outdistance its rivals to further improve efficiency. The front motor will disconnect, and the rear motor has a dual-speed transmission. Four-wheel steering's available, reducing turning radius in tight urban environments. Inside, big tech approach. I told you about recently that 40-inch hyperscreen wouldn't be for me. I don't think luxury is a big screen, personally. This is the entire width of the dashboard. The standard setup includes a more conventional dual digital display. I'd go for that one. As with its latest EVs, the GLC has over-the-air updates and advanced navigation, battery preconditioning en route, all of the good stuff you would expect at the top end. In terms of market positioning, the GLC EV will be a bridge between the smaller EQC replacements and the larger EQE SUV. So a mid-size option that doesn't compromise on luxury. And if priced carefully, that could be a really big seller, a volume player, both in Europe and the United States. The new GLC with EQ will arrive in 2026 as a 2027 model year. Production will come from Mercedes' established German facilities. They could, I guess, use the Tuscaloosa, Alabama plant for its US models. Well, depends on tariffs, doesn't it, and how that all shakes out. All right, more Mercedes-Benz news. There's a lot coming out from Mercedes-Benz at the IAA show. But first of all, another new car launch. This time, Volkswagen revealed the ID. Cross concept. I wouldn't read too much into it being called a concept because it looks pretty done to me. They showed it off at the IAA show, showing its new direction for its EVs. Built on the updated MEB Plus platform, the ID. Cross previews their new generation models, like the electric Tiguan and the electric Golf. MEB Plus brings faster charging of 200 kilowatts, better efficiency, new software, and better driving dynamics. The design keeps the classic proportions of the cars like the Tiguan. Classic combustion styling, really. Real buttons inside, no haptic sliders. They've added a frunk as well. The concept is front-wheel drive. They said this one was 208 horsepower, WLTP'd at around 215 miles or 420 kilometers, which should be less than leaders like the Kona or the cute little Volvo EX30, but this will be a more affordable mass-market vehicle. And when it arrives, of course, not called the ID. Cross. Skoda unveiled the Epic, its smallest electric car. So, of course, Skoda has the ENIAC and the Elroq. Now showing off the Epic, built on MEB entry. 264 miles or 425 kilometers of range. There'll be a performance-focused Epic VRS, trading range for power. Battery options, there's two. 38 or 56 kilowatt hours. So that is absolutely matching the Cupra Raval and the VW ID. Polo. Skoda targets 10 to 80 in 20 minutes. The Epic's design following Skoda's modern solid T-shaped LED lights, what they call the tech deck face, with the sensors inside. Mobile first design, they say, gives a simple but functional layout, wireless phone charging, smart storage, physical buttons. Still got some haptic scroll wheels inside and a big boot. Skoda do some really nice touches, actually, on in terms of making their cars a little bit different, usability, things like that. Pricing, yes, yeah, small car, €25,000. Production starts before the end of the year. Talking of Cupra, Raval is their new model, the small electric version of the car we just talked about. The Raval will be made in Spain on MEB entry, front-wheel drive, sportier than the other cars in Volkswagen Group's locker. Again, £22,000 to £25,000. You're right in the heart of Renault 5 territory now, aren't you? Which is a brilliant segment to be looking at cars in right now. Low 20s in the next couple of years, or even right now, to be honest with you. Oh, wow, there's so many brilliant EVs, at least here in Europe, I should say. The design is close to the concept version. Sharp front end. Like, it's Cupra styling. So sharp, aggressive, sculpted. Big copper accents and coloured wheels as well. The headlights are all new, debuting the fresh triangular look from the brand. Cupra aims to offer a high-performance VZ version, following the pattern set by the Cupra Born. Battery options, again, same as what I just talked about, the Skoda Epic and the ID. Polo. 38 and 56 are the two battery options. So 270 miles of range on the big battery, you would think on that. These new little vehicles from the same kind of family all look really, really interesting. 260, 270 miles, small vehicle, good price. This is fantastic. We are entering a golden era of smaller EVs. Again, like I say, big caveat over here in Europe. I know my US listeners, some of you guys, might love some of these cars that we're talking about. Now, we've got some more Mercedes-Benz news to get to. But first of all, just a general look at the IAA show in Munich. BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen, the big German names are all unveiling new EVs in Munich over the next week as they try and reassert German engineering and respond to the Chinese, who, by the way, are also at the show. BMW showing off their iX3 from Neue Klasse, their new program, spending 10 billion euros on that investment. New software, four big brains in terms of computers, big mileage, big charging speed. Mercedes-Benz GLC, we've talked about already, charging faster and giving more range than its big competitors like the Tesla. Volkswagen will focus on lower priced models, the electric people's car and the ID Cross that I've talked about. Camouflage version of the ID Polo has been getting loads of attention. Again, less than £25,000. It does go on sale next year. Chinese automakers are using Munich to press their European ambitions, though, accounting for nearly 10% of EV sales in July, did the Chinese, reaching a record share as well. BYD, XPeng, Leap Motor, Chery, Polestar, and other Geely-backed brands are all showing off new models. We'll be talking about the Polestar 5 later in the week on this here podcast. Now, back to a bit of Merc news then. So the third generation Mercedes GLA has been confirmed this week at the show to arrive next year as the entry-level crossover. The chairman, Ola Källenius, talking about this, part of Mercedes' MMA-based compact lineup. Both electric and hybrid, early images show a coupe-like shape, a new iconic grille that's seen on the GLC that I just talked about. The electric GLA will be on the 800-volt architecture that the CLA is on. Two battery sizes, either 58.5 or 85 kilowatt-hours, and big efficiency from this new platform. So top range, 484 miles. Man, that's big. Okay, so that might be WLTP'd. You might want to add some real world in on that. Fast driving, middle of winter. It's still going to be very usable, right? 286 horsepower single motor or 350 horsepower on the dual motor. The AMG versions are going to use these axial flux motors we've been talking so much about from Yasser. They're really small, really powerful, really lightweight. Both the electric models and the hybrids built alongside the CLA in their factory in Germany. Mercedes-Benz also testing a special CCS charger on that AMG GTXX. So a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, I told you about the AMG GTXX, this vehicle that they just drove non-stop for hours at a time, each driver taking their turn, even the Formula One driver George Russell doing a stint, and just incredible, just amazing vehicle. They would broke tons of records, the farthest driven in 24 hours and all that kind of stuff, because the car charges ridiculously quickly. They developed a new charger, they were saying, with Alpatronic, and the AMG GTXX was able to plug in and go straight to a megawatt, which is 1,000 kilowatts charge speed. They said in the first second, it ramped up to over 1,000. It actually sustained at 1,041 kilowatts for the first 2.5 minutes. That's how they managed to break all these records, like, you know, farthest distance in 24 hours and all the ones that went with it, was because, well, they weren't stopping the vehicle, or they were pulling in to change the driver, which takes a couple of minutes. And in that 2.5 minutes, they were adding what they needed. 17.3 kilowatt hours in a minute. That's not bad, is it? It's going to cost you a bit if you leave it plugged into the fast charger a little bit too long. So, of course, this isn't a road vehicle, but Mercedes-Benz talking about charging EVs at a megawatt, or in this case, at 1,041 kilowatts sustained for 2.5 minutes. The system uses an adapted megawatt charging standard originally built for trucks, but like I say, with Alpatronic, with special cooling cables as well, which can handle 1,176 amps. The car's battery uses direct cooling next level advanced heat management. Mercedes-Benz say that the tech will end up on the road when they eventually make the AMG GTXX as a production car. And finally on Merck, Mercedes-Benz is introducing a bi-directional service so that their EVs send electricity back into the home or the grid. Starts next year, they say. The all-electric GLC is the first one that comes with it, rolling out in Germany, France and the UK. Of course, vehicle to load, easy, solved problem. Vehicle to home, a little bit more difficult, largely sorted. Vehicle to grid, you have to work with electricity operators. And in this country, we're a small island. Largely, that's an easier task than working with, well, in the US, hundreds of operators. And so vehicle to grid, because you are sending energy back into the grid, there's safety concerns. Obviously, you don't want to send it back in if someone's working on the grid, if the grid is down and they're fixing a problem. Again, that's a solved problem, but you have to line up lots of bits and pieces of the puzzle. And so the cars, the wall boxes, the EVSEs, the home equipment, the grid provider, and it, all doable, but you've got all the different car companies, all the different electricity providers, all the different hardware makers for your wall box. And so, you know, doable, but Mercedes say they've sorted it. They will use a new wall box from a company called The Mobility House, and they will work with green energy tariffs, like I say, initially Germany, France, and the UK next year. Charging will happen when the grid is cheap, and it'll send it back when you can make some money out of it, lowering your house bill, supporting as well the public grid. We know that this is going to be the nirvana of when everyone drives an EV, and the grid is basically one giant distributed battery with resilience, with much more local influence, and you making a bit of money out of it as well and reducing your charging costs. That's where we'll get to. Just taking a little while, but it's happening, trust me. Now we're going to talk about some more ID4 stuff, South Korea's EV sales, and Rivian smart charging, all on the way on a Packed to the Brim podcast today, because the IAA show. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, Volkswagen's design chief, Andreas Mint, saying that the new ID4, the 2026 ID4, is having such a major redesign that it's basically going to be a new car. It's influenced by the ID Cross concept. The ID4 is basically what he called the big brother of the ID Cross, which we've talked about earlier on the podcast today. Mr. Mint notes the ID3 getting a big refresh as well. And the Volkswagen moving away, all of their EVs, away from the short, stubby front end that defined their very early electric cars, and moving back to the combustion style and the shape of traditional Volkswagens looking the same. So whether you buy the engine version, the hybrid, the mild, shabby hybrid, don't do that. The plug-in hybrid, you could do that. Or the full EV, it will look the same, and that's what their customers, Volkswagen, say. Absolutely. One, Volkswagen says the ID4's update is so extensive, it's more a new generation of vehicle than a simple facelift. The ID4 turns 5 years old soon. Was Europe's second best-selling car in the first half of the year. We're still buying loads of them. Now that the US factory in Chattanooga is pausing because of supply and demand. CEO Thomas Schaefer promises the new vehicle will be completely different, a huge step inside and out. Volkswagen say that the refreshed ID4, should we call it the Tiguan? It might be. It might be the new Tiguan E, electric Tiguan, ID Tiguan, I don't know. But the car... I think they're going to maintain their ID naming, but maybe ID Tiguan. I mean, I just call it the Tiguan, personally. You know me. Just call it a Golf. And whether the Golf has an engine or a battery, it's just the Golf, right? And so that's what I would do. But anyway, electric vehicle sales in South Korea, more good news there, jumping to 142,500 units in the first 8 months of the year. In context, is that good or bad? Well, it's up 50% from the same time last year. In South Korea, EVs are now 13% of new cars, 9% last year. New models like the Model Y from Tesla, which launched in May, are doing really well. Government subsidies and automaker promotions are helping as well. Domestic brands delivering a 50% increase You won't be surprised to hear plenty of great Korean EVs, and they like buying their homegrown cars as well. Rivian's next in the news, rolling out smart charging for its vehicles soon, letting owners schedule charging during off-peak hours to save money. More than 80% of EV charging happens at home, but over 70% of those sessions sometimes miss the cheapest times to charge. Rivian's mobile app will soon analyze your utility plan and suggest or automate charging windows that benefit from lower rates. The smart charging update builds on Rivian's partnership with WeaveGrid. WeaveGrid's a company that helps drivers join utility programs. These programs offer direct financial perks for charging at certain times of the day. Rivian vehicles will soon help owners spend less money on electricity. But like I'd say, depending on where that is, and obviously Rivian's a US-based North American vehicles for now, it's a different kettle of fish than what we've got. We've got one grid. We have the national grid. It's a monopoly, but it's a regulated monopoly company. And they look after making sure that electricity comes to our houses and our homes. And then lots of operators sit on top of the grid and resell that energy. It's not a perfect system. There's lots of here. We have lots of anomalies because the price that you can pay is often the same, certainly nationally. So if I'm with, say I'm with Octopus, right? Well, actually, a lot of wind generation, maybe in the north of England, is happening geographically very close to those people there. We've got a lot of wind turbines down here on the south coast too. And so you might be generating a lot of cheap electricity in your region of the country, but everyone's paying the same thing. And so, yeah, we could do it probably better and make the most of certain parts of the country paying less because they're generating electricity. Lots of people don't want wind turbines out to sea, for instance. There was a big plan to have it off the coast here at Bournemouth. It was a brilliant idea. You wouldn't even see it on the, you wouldn't have even seen it on the horizon. Okay, because I come from East Anglia, Norfolk, Great Yarmouth, where I'm from. There's tons of wind turbines there out to sea. And you can see them if you look out to sea. Do they look terrible? No. And yet down here in, you know, sunny Dorset, there was such a pushback on this. And so they were, well, we're a tourist town and nobody will visit Bournemouth anymore if you can see wind turbines on the horizon. And the whole thing got knocked on the head, frustratingly. Well, what about, though, if we paid a lot less for electricity? So if you're generating it near you, what about if, well, if you build them there, you all get cheaper lecky? That might have changed things. I don't know. So yeah, we need incentives, but much simpler to do these kind of things here than maybe in the US, where, you know, you're dealing with hundreds of individual smaller companies, but Rivian trying to chip away at that. Let's move on. With just 3 weeks until the federal tax credit goes in the US, $7,500 off new vehicles, Stellantis is already pulling back on their EV production and restricting dealer orders. The automaker confirmed production pauses while directing customers to its websites with messaging like, get in EV incentives while you can, and your incentive is going fast. The company's either stopped or restricted orders on some of their key EVs like the Jeep Wagoneer S, the Dodge Charger Daytona, and hybrid Jeep Wranglers, Grand Cherokees, and Chrysler Pacificas. Despite the availability of the tax credit, the all-electric Charger Daytona and Wagoneer S have actually had some weak sales recently. However, the plug-in hybrid models are different. Wrangler 4xe capturing a bigger part of the market, and the Grand Cherokee 4xe also doing pretty well. This production adjustment comes as Stellantis abandons their previous targets of going all electric by 2030, with the company saying it's working to ensure production aligns with consumer demands. I mean, yeah, that's the story of everyone's life though, right? And finally, a massive immigration raid at what was supposed to be Georgia's largest economic development project has created a diplomatic crisis between the United States and South Korea. Federal agents raided the factory and detained 475 workers. I told you about this last week on, I think on Sunday's podcast, maybe. And I said I'd update it when I could. And now I can. More than 300 of them we know were South Korean nationals working in the US because they have specialized skills. The operation, which happened on September 4th, was the largest single-site enforcement action of Donald Trump's presidency so far. Video footage showed workers being shackled around their hands, ankles, and waist, with zip ties holding them, their hands together. Hundreds of federal agents executed searches search warrants at the sprawling facility in Georgia. The plant is a joint venture between Hyundai and LG, part of a $350 billion trade agreement, and set to produce batteries powering electric vehicles. And despite it happening 5 days ago now, none of the detained workers have yet to be charged with a crime. South Korean presidential chief of staff, Kang Hung-sik, announcing that negotiations between the two governments concluded with an agreement that a charter flight would bring any South Korean workers home following the admin, which is good news. That is fantastic news that obviously what is a horrific experience for these South Korean nationals who were brought in to do a specialised job, obviously working on US soil, and you want the paperwork to be absolutely right. Very important that the US fights China as being a, you know, a battery manufacturing powerhouse. But the incident has certainly prompted both nations to review their visa systems, and those people get to go home after what was probably a horrible experience. Certainly the Korean nationals are all being flown home by Hyundai and LG. Resolution, which is a good thing on that story. Glad I could update you. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.